咪。
Good morning. Welcome to Ascend Church. Glad you're here. Everyone stand and sing, please. Good morning.
You are good and I dance because
You are good, and I shout because you are good. You are good to me. And I sing because you are good, and I dance because you are good, and I shout because you are good. You are good to me.
Oh,
It was my cross she bore so I could live in the freedom you died for. And now my shame is gone, and I will sing of your goodness forevermore. Worthy is your name, Jesus. You deserve the praise. Worthy is your name. Worthy is your name, Jesus. You deserve the praise. To this next part. Sing it as loud as you can. Here we go. And now my shame is gone. I stand amazed in your love undeniable. Your grace goes on and on, and I will sing of your goodness. Worthy is your name, Jesus. You deserve the praise. Worthy is your name. Worthy is your name, Jesus. You deserve the praise. Worthy is your name. Glory fills this place. You alone deserve our praise. You're the name above all names. Be exalted now in the heavens as your glory fills this place. You alone deserve our praise. You're the name above all names. Be exalted now in the heavens as your glory fills this place. You alone deserve our praise. You're the name above all names. Be exalted now in the heavens as your glory fills this place. You alone deserve our praise. You're the name above all names. Be exalted now in the heavens as your glory fills this place. You alone deserve our praise. You're the name above all names. Oh, yeah.
is worthy this morning. Amen. He's worthy, worthy, worthy. He deserves all our praise. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We bless you in this place, Lord. You're creating an atmosphere of worship as we honor God. The Bible says that He inhabits the praise of His people. So His presence, that's when you begin to feel the presence of God as you worship Him. Welcome to church family. Welcome to Ascend Church. We're so glad that you're here. We are going to sing a beautiful worship song to end off our worship today. And we want you to just join in and worship with us. But first, we're going to have a time of prayer and praise. And pass me that one, please. Sorry, I thought I only had one. Debbie wanted to give God praise because she said that God answered all her prayers, healed her so quickly and with no pain. She had two broken ankles, and she's healed far quicker than they would have ever expected. She was in her boots 2 weeks ago, and now she's back driving and everything. So praise God for that. Thank God for that, right? That's awesome. We're going to pray for someone who's fighting depression, and we're going to take authority over that. Amen. Amen. You know what I love about when you read through the Gospels, through Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and you see the life of Jesus, He was so willing to heal people. He was so willing. He wanted to meet the needs of people. You know, even the leper that came to Him said, "Lord, I know You're able, but are You willing?" And He said, "Of course I'm willing." And that's where we sometimes don't come to the Lord, because we know He's able, but we don't always know if He's willing. And I want to remind you today that He's willing. Whatever it is that you need, bring it to Him. Bring it to Him. He said, "Come to Me. Whatever you ask the Father in My name, I will give it to you." And so we're going to have a time of prayer. We're going to have our prayer team come up here. We want to join our faith with yours. We want to, nothing's too small. Nothing's too big. If it's depression, if it's marriage issues, if it's anything that you're facing, healing in your body, just take this time during this last song. Just slip out of your seat and come and have us pray with you. We'd love to do that. We believe God is going to change circumstances today. To those who are watching, let's pray a prayer right now. Father, we pray over every person that is watching today that has pain in their body. We command pain to go from them. Father, You said that Jesus came to heal all our sicknesses and diseases. He took all of our pains and all of our infirmities, Father. And so right now we just speak healing into everyone who's watching. Just lift your hand right where you are and let the healing power of God flow into your body, into your situation right now in the name of Jesus. We're going to worship God with this last song. Let's come on forward if you need prayer this morning. Thank you.
Come on, let's sing it, church. I exalt thee.
For thou, O Lord, art high above all the earth. Thou art exalted far above. For thou, O Lord,
thou art high,
above all the earth. For thou art exalted far above our God.
With us, lift your hands, sing it. We exalt thee,
exalt,
we exalt thee, Lord.
Thee.
Yes,
we exalt thee, oh Lord.
That's it. Sing it again.
Sing it again.
We
exalt you, Lord. There's no God like our God. You are high above all the earth. You agree with that, church? How many of you agree that there's no God like our God? How many of you agree that He is high and lifted up? He's the King of all the earth. He's the Lord of lords, the Creator of heaven and earth. There is nothing that is too difficult for Him. Whatever you may be facing, I can tell you right now, it may look like a big problem to you, but it's a simple thing for the Lord. It's an easy thing for the Lord. And all you got to do is look to Him. All you got to do is call on Him. Let me tell you, God loves it when you call on Him. He loves it when you say, Lord, I need you. He loves it when you depend on him and you put your trust in him. Oh, he is high above all the earth. He's highly exalted. And Lord, we exalt you in this place. It's all about you, Jesus. It's all about you. We're here for you. We're here to worship you. We're here to hear your word. We're here to exalt you. Amen, church. Praise the Lord. We're glad to see you today. Glad you're here. Take a minute. This is a mingle minute. I want you to take 60 seconds. I want you to find somebody you don't know and say hi to them.
Awesome. Well, welcome to Ascend Church. How nice to go around and greet one another. So good to see you in church today. You look good, clean up well, right? Brave the rain. So glad to see you. Did you, who enjoyed an extra hour of sleep this morning? This is the one we like. It's the other, the spring forward that pastors hate because everybody walks into church an hour late, right? Or numerous people. So, but how, no excuses today. But we're so glad to see you in church, so glad to worship together with you. We have an expectancy. You know, we had a prayer meeting here yesterday morning, our monthly United prayer, and we prayed the house down. We prayed for you. We prayed for your families. We prayed for every area of your life. So if you walk out of here feeling like 10 feet tall, don't be surprised. Amen. And we just want to welcome everyone. Welcome those who are visiting for the first time. We love having visitors in our church, don't we? If you're here for the first time, we'd like to give you a gift pack right where you're sitting. So if you're here for the first time, would you mind just waving your hand that we could give something to you? Anyone here for the first time? Yes, anybody? Sometimes people don't like to raise their hand, but okay, I don't see any hands. If you are here for the first time and you didn't want to put up your hand, make sure you grab one of those white bags from the ushers. We're glad if you do that. I want to remind you of the four purposes of our church. The first one is for us to help you know God better. Second of all, to find freedom in every area of our life. Amen. To discover your purpose and to make a difference with your life. I was just talking to Louis earlier and we were just saying, the older I get, the more I realize other things matter less and less. And following God and finding his purpose and making a difference with my life means more and more. Amen. We're going to take time in the service right now and we're going to partake of communion together. Did you all, if anyone did not get a communion emblem, just lift your hand and the ushers will get one to you. Thank you. Just thank you. Keep it up until they get it to you. And we're going to read that scripture. Thanks, Dan. I'm going to read, you know, Paul wrote this in 1 Corinthians to the church. Thank you. On this side too. This side too, brother. 1 Corinthians 11, it says, "For I pass on to you what I received from the Lord himself. On the night when he was betrayed, our Lord Jesus took some bread and gave thanks to God for it, and then he broke it in pieces, and he said this, 'This is my body, which is given for you. do this in remembrance of me. In the same way, he took the cup of the wine after supper, saying, this cup is a new covenant between God and his people, an agreement confirmed with my blood. He said, do this in remembrance of me as often as you drink it, for every time you eat this bread and drink this cup, you are announcing the Lord's death until he comes again. And so there's a purpose to communion. It's symbolic of the body and the blood of Jesus. Will you open mine for me, please? It's symbolic of the blood and the body of Jesus. And as believers, anybody here believe in what Jesus did at Calvary? Anyone received him as Lord of your life? Well, there is power, thank you. There's power in remembering what he did for us. Because what we're doing is we're saying, Lord, I believe what you did, and I receive what everything that you did for me at the cross of Calvary. Amen. And so I want you to take that bread in your hand right now. You know, the Bible says that by the stripes of Jesus Christ, we were healed. That means that's talking about, it was prophesied first of all in the Old Testament, and then it was fulfilled and in the Gospels. In Jesus' life. And what it was when the Roman soldiers came and they whipped Jesus, they gave him 39 lashes on his back. The Bible says that was to take away our sickness and our pain. And that's why we believe God for healing, because if Jesus purchased it for us, we are not going to do without it. Amen. So we may see symptoms of sickness in our body, and you will say, oh, well, I am sick. No, we look at the word of God and we say, what Jesus did for me, I take what he did for me. And you know that you can receive healing right where you're sitting just by partaking and declaring your faith in the work of Calvary. Amen. So right now, just take that bread, put it in your mouth, and eat that bread, and we'll say this together. Say, thank you, Lord Jesus, for your body given for me. Thank you that by your stripes I was healed. I believe in what you did. I know you rose from the grave, and I receive everything that you purchased for me at Calvary. Thank you, Lord. Take the cup and just hold it. You know, there's power in the blood of Jesus. There's power to wash your sins away. There's power to, we sang it earlier, I am the righteousness of God. Why are we the righteousness of God? Because the Bible says that Jesus became sin, that we might become the righteousness of God. Right now, what we read in that scripture, he said, I'm going to ratify a new covenant with my blood. And that's a covenant between God and man, with Jesus as the mediator. So Jesus gave us access to the Father through his blood. We have access, we can come boldly before the throne of God. We can come as the righteousness of God because of the blood of Jesus. Amen. And so right now as we partake, say this. Say, thank you, Lord, for your blood shed on my behalf. Thank you that it purchases for me salvation, redemption, right standing with God. A place in heaven. Thank you, Lord. Let's partake of that. Hallelujah. Awesome. We're going to just hand those down we'll pass the bucket down and you can just drop it in. Thank you. Thank you, Pastor Steve.
Praise the Lord. Well, good morning. It's good to see you today. I know what happened to me. We had that extra hour's sleep, and I overslept today. Looks like a lot of other people did. I would have thought that would have been a great day to be early for church. But anyway, we're glad you're here. I want to thank everybody who came yesterday to our United Prayer. On the first Saturday of every month, from 10 until 11, we have United Prayer. And, you know, the Bible says in
In Proverbs chapter 15, in verse 8, it says, the Lord delights in the prayers of his people. God delights when we pray. And in Acts chapter 1, verse 14, it says, in the early church, it said they all met together and they were constantly united in prayer. Constantly united in prayer. It says in Acts 2, verse 42, every believer, say every believer, was faithfully devoted to coming together regularly for prayer. I would encourage you to be devoted to coming together once every month, that as a church, we can pray. Thanks you for your enthusiasm this morning. I'll keep going anyway. You know, we all talk about prayer. I find a lot of people talk about prayer, but a lot of people don't do it. A lot of people say, I'm praying for you, I'm praying for you. They ain't praying for you. That's just something they say. When something bad happens, I'm praying for you. Did you actually pray for them? Because if I tell you I'm praying for you, I'm actually praying for you. And I want to encourage you, family, we need to be devoted once a month to come together and pray for our country, for our city, for our families, for our church, for ourselves, for the will of God, for revival, for God to pour out His Spirit. This won't happen unless we pray. So I want to encourage you. On the first Sunday of December, excuse me, the first Saturday of December will be our last United Prayer for the year. And I really hope that you will be there. And if you say, well, Pastor Steve, I'm not sure I know how to pray, that's the whole point. That's where you learn how to pray, is at a prayer meeting. That's where I learned to pray, at prayer meetings. I used to go to Pastor Theo's house at 5 o'clock in the morning. I can't believe I did that. 5 o'clock in the morning, I'd meet him, and we'd pray for 2 hours. If you want to grow in the things of God, you have to be devoted to prayer. Amen? So I wanted to encourage you to start making plans to be at the next United Prayer. And we had 3 people that came to prayer. They've never been filled with the Spirit. They got filled with the Spirit, started speaking in tongues, and it was great, right? So our first United Prayer, we had 10 people. This United Prayer, we had 18. So it's almost twice as many. I believe we're gonna double it, and we're going to have at least 35 at the next United Prayer. I'm believing God, at least 35 of you will come and pray. And one of these days, I'm believing that this whole place will be filled with people praying and calling out to God. Do you agree with that? Well, praise the Lord. So thanks for everyone who did come and pray. We had a very powerful prayer meeting. I'm telling you now, it was a strong, powerful prayer meeting. And the Lord is, God is moving. Amen? He is moving. Well, we're so glad you're here today. You're ready to get into God's Word today. I hope when you came in, you got one of those handouts where we have the outline so you can follow along with me and you can make notes on that as well. Let's just pray. Keep on playing. Thanks for us. Didn't the worship team do an amazing job today? Give them a big hand. They did an amazing job. I love you guys did a great job today. In fact, we want to thank all of our servant leaders that are serving in God's house today. Come on, give all of our servant leaders a big round of applause. We appreciate you. We couldn't do it without you. Thank you for serving. Father, we thank you that you are so good to us, Lord. You are so faithful. And Lord, today I thank you for your presence, for your Spirit, for your Word. I thank you for anointing your Word today. I thank you, Lord, that you will give each and every person understanding and revelation. That, Lord, you'll cause your Word to become alive in our hearts today, Lord. And I just give you all the praise for everything that will be said and everything that will be done. In Jesus' name, if you agree, say amen. Thank you so much. I want to speak today about stand out in God's eyes. Would you like to know how you can stand out in the eyes of God? Because there is a way, there is something that causes you to stand out in God's eyes. In 2 Chronicles chapter 16, in verse number 9, it says that the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth to show himself strong on behalf of those whose heart is loyal to him. Now, the easy-to-read translation says those who are faithful to him. And the contemporary English version says, those who faithfully obey him. So the Bible says that the eyes of the Lord are searching throughout the whole earth, looking for somebody that he can show himself strong. He's looking for those who are faithful to him. You know what causes you to stand out in the eyes of God? When you are faithful. Faithful people, that's who God is looking for. That's who God shows himself strong on the behalf of faithful people. In fact, the Living Bible says it like this. The Living Bible says, for the eyes of the Lord search back and forth across the whole earth, looking for people whose hearts are perfect or faithful toward him, so that he can show his great power in helping them. Do you know that God wants to show his great power in helping you? But God helps, and God blesses, and God promotes, and God protects, and God uses people who are faithful to him. That's a good chance to say amen. Faithful means, the word faithful means to be loyal, which means to be steadfast in your affection or your allegiance. And steadfast means to be firmly fixed in place, immovable, not subject to change, firm in your belief, your determination, or your adherence. It also means to be conscientious, to be firm in your adherence to your promises, to keep your promises, or in observance of your duty. In other words, meticulous in doing a great job as a faithful person. It means to be reliable. A faithful person is reliable. A faithful person is constant. They're not up one day, down the next day, up one day, down the next day, like a roller coaster. No, they are constant. They are steady. They are unwavering. They are devoted. Faithful means trustworthy. It means of long continuance. It means an unswerving commitment to a person or to a cause. Now, I want you to know that the Bible speaks about God's faithfulness. In Psalm 89, in verse 8, it says, where is there any other mighty one like you? Faithfulness is your very character. Let me tell you, God is the epitome of faithful. In 2 Timothy 2, verse 13, it says, if we are unfaithful, he remains faithful because he cannot deny who he is. God is faithful. He can't be anything else. That's who he is. And when God says he'll do something, then he does it. Even when it seems like it's impossible. When God says something's going to happen, it happens. If that was not the case, if God were unfaithful even one time, then he wouldn't be God anymore, and we couldn't rely on his promises. But the Bible says in 1 Kings chapter 8, verse 56, that not one word has failed of all the good promises that he gave through his servant Moses. Not one word of the promises of God have ever failed. God is eternally reliable, steadfast, unwavering. Faithfulness is one of his inherent attributes. God doesn't have to try to be faithful or work at being faithful. He is faithful. Psalm 100 verse 5 says this, he is famous for his faithfulness toward all. Everybody knows that our God can be trusted, for he keeps his promises to every generation. Let me tell you, God, everybody knows God can be trusted. He is famous for his faithfulness. Do you know the Bible says that we are to imitate him? Do you know the Bible says that we are to copy him? The scripture says in Ephesians 5, verse 1, be imitators of God in everything that you do, for then you will represent your Father as his beloved sons and daughters. We are to imitate God in everything that we do. We are to be becoming more and more like Jesus every day that goes by. That's what it means to grow in the Lord, to become more and more like him. That's the goal of the Christian life, is to become like Jesus. That means that we too must be faithful. God expects us to be faithful to him. The Apostle Paul, he wrote in 1 Corinthians chapter 4 in verse 1, he said, let a man so consider us as servants of Christ and stewards of the mysteries of God. He said, we are servants of Christ and we are stewards, managers of the mysteries of God. He said, moreover, it is required. it is required in stewards that one be found faithful. Say, God expects me. God requires me to be faithful to Him. The Passion Bible says it like this. The most important quality of one entrusted with such secrets is that they are faithful. The most important quality is that they are faithful. The Contemporary English Version says, our first duty is to be faithful to the one that we work for. How many of you know who we work for? I work for the Lord. Not about you, but I'm working for Him. My first duty is to be faithful to Him. My first duty is to be faithful to Him. God requires us to be faithful. It's the most important quality He's looking for. That's the people who stand out in God's eyes. And yet, having said all that, there are so many Christians today who are not faithful. You know why God is searching throughout the earth looking for faithful people? Because they're hard to find. That's why faithful people are hard to find. The scripture says in Proverbs 20 and verse 6, many a man proclaims his own loyalty and goodness, but who can find a faithful and trustworthy man? Who can find a faithful man? The Message Bible says it like this. It says, lots of people claim to be loyal and loving, but where on earth can you find one? The Good News translation says, everyone talks about how loyal and faithful he is, but just try to find someone who really is. There's a lot of people who tell you they're faithful, who tell you they're loyal, but the truth of the matter is, it's very hard to find truly faithful people. And I don't know about you, but I'm determined that I'm going to be one of them. I'm determined that when God searches the earth, that He's going to find Steve Barry faithful. How about you? Faithful and loyal people are hard to find. But let me tell you, faithfulness and loyalty are the qualities that God values and He above all else and that He is looking for. That's the people that God promotes. That's the people that God blesses. That's the people that God protects. That's the people that God uses, really, is faithful people. The Bible says in Hebrews 3 verse 2, Jesus was faithful to God who appointed Him high priest, just as Moses also faithfully served in God's house. Notice that. Jesus was faithful. Moses was faithful. Moses grew up as the son of Pharaoh's daughter. He grew up in the palace of Pharaoh. The scripture says that Moses, one day he chose to suffer affliction with the people of God instead of enjoying the fleeting pleasures of sin. It tells us this in the book of Hebrews. He said that he thought it was better to suffer for the sake of Christ than to own all the treasures of Egypt. And the Bible says the reason that he thought that way is because he was looking ahead to the great reward. That's why. What reward? Let me tell you, we are going to be rewarded in eternity for our faithfulness to God on this earth. Jesus spoke about it in Luke chapter 19. He illustrated this with a parable. He spoke about a wealthy prince who left his land to travel to a distant land where he would be crowned king, and then he would return. The Bible says he called his 10 servants together, and he entrusted each of them with $50,000. And he told them that while he was gone, they were to trade with it and invest it until he returned. And when he finally returned after a long time, he summoned the servants together, and he wanted to find out what they'd done with the $50,000 that he'd given them. And the first one said to him, said, Master, I invested the money that you gave me, and I have multiplied it 10 times over. I now have $500,000. And the king said in Luke 19, verse 17, well done. You have been faithful with the little that I entrusted to you, and as your reward, you shall be governor of 10 cities. The second servant had multiplied that 50,000 five times, and the king made him governor over 5 cities. But the third servant came forward, and he said that he hid the money, he buried it in the ground. He wasn't faithful to invest that money, and the king called him a wicked servant. And the king said to him in Luke 19:23, why didn't you at least put my money in the bank to earn some interest on what I entrusted to you? The king said to the other servants, take the money that he has and give it to the faithful servant who multiplied my money 10 times over. But master, the other servants objected, why give it to him? He already has so much. Yes, replied the king, but to all who have been faithful, even more will be given to them. And for the ones who have nothing, even the little they seem to have will be taken away from them. Let me tell you right now, God blesses faithful people. God promotes faithful people, not just on this earth, but in the life that is to come. Let me tell you, the ones that are faithful are going to be appointed in all eternity with great positions of authority, but people that were not faithful to the Lord on this earth will not be rewarded with those kind of things. What do you think I'm doing this for? What do you think I laid down my life? What do you think I made this the most important thing in my life? Because I really believe that one day we're going to stand and everything we do on this life is going to reflect in our eternity. I really believe that. Our faithfulness determines our rewards, not just in this life, in all eternity. And God rewards those who are faithful to Him. If there was anyone who was faithful, it surely must be the Apostle Paul. He endured more than we can ever imagine. And he never quit. And he never wavered. And he never gave up. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians 11, verse 23, Paul said, I've worked harder. I've worked much harder for God. I've taken more beatings. I've been dragged to more prisons than they. I've been flogged excessively multiple times, even to the point of death. He said, 5 times I received 39 lashes from the Jewish leaders. Do you know what that is? They take a whip and they strip you naked and they whoop you with a cat of nine tails 39 times. He said, I had that 5 times. 3 times I experienced being beaten with rods. Once they stoned me. 3 times I've been shipwrecked. For an entire night and a day I was adrift in the open sea. In my difficult travels, I faced many dangerous situations, perilous rivers, robbers, foreigners, even my own people. I've survived deadly peril in the city, in the wilderness, with storms at the sea, with spies posing as believers. I've toiled to the point of exhaustion. I've gone through many sleepless nights. I've frequently been deprived of food and water, left hungry, shivering out in the cold, lacking proper clothing. Let me tell you, Paul stayed faithful despite all those difficulties that he went through. In 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 6, Paul's coming to the end of his life. And he says, he writes to Timothy, he says, as for me, my life has already been poured out as an offering to God, and the time of my death is near. He said, I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have remained faithful. And he said, now the prize awaits me. The crown of righteousness which the Lord, the righteous judge, will give me on the day of his return. And the prize is not just for me, but for all who eagerly look forward to his appearing. Paul said, I've finished my race. Do you know God's got a race for you? God's got a plan for you. God's got a destiny for you. I want to be able to say, Lord, I finished my race. Some Christians, they haven't even left the starting blocks. They're still on the starting blocks. Some people haven't even at the wrong racetrack. I want to finish my race. Paul said, I remain faithful in spite of everything he went through. Man, you talk about being faithful. Paul wrote this from prison. He went through more for the gospel than any of us will ever. And yet he remained faithful. Yet today, Christians, they get discouraged and they quit coming to church because they didn't get the car they wanted or they didn't get the promotion they wanted or somebody said something they didn't like. They get offended, stop going to church over the stupidest things. That's not being faithful, family. Faithful people refuse to quit. Faithful people will not give up. Amen. And God is looking for faithful people. God promotes and blesses and uses faithful people. The Apostle Paul, he wrote, he said in 1 Timothy 1 verse 12, he said, I thank Christ Jesus our Lord who enabled me because he counted me faithful. He counted me faithful, putting me in the ministry. Paul said the reason that God put him in the ministry, the reason that God used him was because he counted him faithful. It was his faithfulness that caused Paul to be promoted and to be chosen by God, family. Jesus said in Luke 16:10, he who is faithful in what is least is faithful also in much. And he who is unjust in what is least is also unjust in what is much. If you have not been faithful in the unrighteous mammon, does anyone know what the word mammon means? The word mammon is an old English word for the word money. If you've not been faithful with unrighteous mammon, with money, who will commit to your trust the true riches? Now, the Passion Bible says it like this. The one who manages the little he's been given with faithfulness and integrity will be promoted and trusted with greater responsibility. But those who cheat with the little they've been given will not be considered trustworthy to receive more. If you've not handled the riches of this world with integrity, why should you be trusted with the eternal treasures of the spiritual world? In other words, the way that I handle my money before God determines whether God can entrust me with greater responsibilities. When you're faithful with what God gives you, He'll give you more. But if you're not a faithful steward with the money that God has entrusted to you, then God will not entrust you with greater responsibilities. If you're not faithful about tithing on every dollar that you get, God is not going to promote you. Why would God entrust you with $1 million if you can't be trusted with 10? Good preaching, Tom. Don't you agree? Amen. Thank you, Tom. God is looking for faithful people. Those are the ones who stand out in His eyes. Those are the ones He promotes, blesses, uses, preserves, protects. Proverbs 28 verse 20 says, a faithful man will abound with blessings. A faithful woman will abound with blessings. The Passion Bible says, life's blessings drench the faithful person. The Contemporary Bible says, God blesses His loyal people. I don't know about you, man. I want to abound in the blessings of God. And let me tell you something about the blessings of God. You don't receive all of the blessings of God immediately. This is a journey. The more faithful you are, the more blessings God releases to you. That's how it works. A lot of businesses today offer rewards and benefits to their loyal customers. Do you know that God also values and rewards loyalty and faithfulness? Do you know being faithful is the key to abounding in the blessings of God? But faithfulness and loyalty is a rare quality today. The sad reality is faithful people are hard to find. Today more than ever, we live in a quitting society. People quit over everything. If they don't like school, it's too hard, well, quit. If they don't like their job or they have some pressure, well, quit. Anything creates pressure, we'll just quit. Something happens at church they don't like, they quit going to church. Unfortunately, many people in the church are not faithful. They quit when things don't go their way. I can't tell you how many people have told me, Pastor Steve, man, I'm behind you. Oh, I'm never going to leave you, Pastor Steve. I'm so thankful for you, Pastor Steve. I love you so much, Pastor Steve. I'm so glad, Pastor Steve, what you learned in my life. I can't even tell you how many people have told me that. And 6 months later, where's so-and-so? They're gone. I try to call them. They won't answer my call. I text them. They don't reply. They just disappear. The ones that told me how much they love me, behind me, never leave me, now they're gone and they won't even talk to me. Let me tell you, the Bible says we're supposed to have a different spirit, an excellent spirit, an extraordinary spirit like Daniel had. Daniel had an excellent spirit. Daniel 6 verse 3, it says Daniel distinguished himself above the governors and above the satraps because an excellent spirit was in him, and the king thought to setting him over the entire whole realm of his kingdom. So the governors and the satraps, they tried to find some charge against Daniel concerning the kingdom, but they couldn't find any charge. They couldn't find any fault. You know why? Because he was so faithful they couldn't find any charge against him. He had an extraordinary spirit because he was faithful, family. That's what made Daniel so outstanding. He was faithful in all circumstances, even when he was taken captive as a teenager and taken to a place called Babylon. Remember the song, Boney M? We'll, if you like 55 or 60, you may remember. By the rivers of Babylon, where we went down. You remember the song? Hey, we wept when we remembered Zion. Remember that song? That's all about this. That's all about the children of Israel taking captivity into Babylon. And Daniel was taken a captive, a prisoner. But he stayed faithful to God. He refused to compromise his faith. He stood out, family, in God's eyes. You couldn't get Daniel to quit. He wouldn't quit. When they threw him in a den of lions, he wouldn't quit. Today, you don't need a lion's den to get Christians to quit. Just the shadow of a lion is enough. Just the roar of a lion is enough to make him quit. Daniel wouldn't quit. They threw him in a den of lions, and God protected him. Tell your neighbor, I'm not a quitter. I'm going to be faithful. I'm going to be loyal. Because let me tell you, God is looking for faithful people. And faithfulness is not measured in days or weeks or even months. But faithfulness is measured in years, family. You've got to prove yourself faithful. Will you be faithful in adversity? God wants to see your faithfulness before he blesses and uses and trusts you with greater things. In Psalm 31, 23, it says, the Lord preserves the faithful. And the Passion Bible says it like this, the Lord protects and preserves all those who are loyal and faithful to him. Faithfulness is an honorable quality that will bring blessing and promotion in your life. The people God used in the Bible, they were faithful. Joseph was faithful and loyal to God. God gave him a dream when he was a teenager, and it didn't come to pass until many, many years. It took 15 years before it happened, but he remained faithful to God in spite of all the adversity, in spite of all the disappointment. And you know what? Faithfulness is what brings promotion, is what brings the blessing of and the favor of God. It's faithfulness is what God is searching for. And when he finds that quality in your life, he will cause you to abound with blessings. How many want to abound in the blessings? How many of you like to abound in the blessings of God? Anyone here wants to abound with blessings? I don't know, but I do. Well, then make a decision today that you are going to be faithful. Determine that no matter what comes your way, no matter what adversity you may face, no matter what disappointment, you are going to stay faithful to God. Amen? Amen. David was faithful. David was anointed to be king when he was 15 years old. 15, he was anointed to be king. But he didn't take the throne until he was 30. He had to be faithful with the sheep before he could be promoted to be the king. See, you got to be faithful in little before you can be made ruler over much. David was faithful and loyal to King Saul. Even though King Saul turned against him and tried to kill him for 13 years, King Saul hunted David like an animal. With 3,000 of his soldiers chased after David 13 years. But David, even though he had opportunity to kill the king, he refused to do it. David had two opportunities. He could have killed King Saul. The first one was in 1 Samuel 24 when David and his 600 mighty men were staying in a cave. Now, we just went to Israel in May, and we went to this cave. It's a huge, big cave where David and his 600 men, they were staying. As the Bible says, it was in a place called near En-Gedi. It's right near the Dead Sea. We were there. And the Bible says that David and his men were staying there, and Saul, the king, just happened to come along because he needed to go to the bathroom. He needed to relieve himself. And so he went into the cave. He didn't know that David and all his men were hiding there. And so David's men, they said, look, there's King Saul. God has delivered him into your hand, David. He's delivered your enemy into your hand. But David refused to kill King Saul. The Bible says in 1 Samuel 24, verse 10, it says, look this day, your eyes have seen that the Lord delivered you today into my hand in the cave, and someone urged me to kill you, but my eyes spared you. And I said, I will not stretch up my hand against my Lord, for he is the Lord's anointed. He said, I will not touch God's anointed. Now, here's the amazing thing. The anointing of God had left Saul. The anointing had left Saul because he was disobeying God. And God had anointed David. But David said, I will not stretch my hand against, because at one time he was anointed. The second opportunity David had to king kill Saul was two chapters later in 1 Samuel chapter 26. It says he and his assistant or servant Abishai, he crept into Saul's camp at night. They were all asleep. And David again refused to harm the Lord's anointed. The Bible says that they crept into the camp. And they escaped from the camp. And David climbed a hill opposite Saul's camp. And he shouted out to Saul's men. And he told them what he had done. And Saul heard it. And he said, is that you, David? And David said, yes. Why are you chasing me? What have I done against you? Why are you trying to kill me? And the Bible says that Saul admitted that he was wrong. And he said, David, I won't try and harm you anymore. And I love what David replied. Listen to David's reply. 1 Samuel 26, verse 23. May the Lord repay every man for his righteousness and his faithfulness. May the Lord repay me for my righteousness and my faithfulness. For the Lord delivered you into my hand today, but I would not stretch out my hand against the Lord's anointed. Indeed, As your life was valued this day in my eyes, so let my life be valued in the eyes of the Lord, and let him deliver me out of all my tribulation. Let me tell you, David knew exactly what he was doing. David knew just what he was doing. He said, I'm going to spare you. I'm going to be faithful to the Lord, and I'm not going to stretch my hand against you, because God's going to protect me, and God's going to deliver me from any enemy that I face. The New Living Bible says the Lord gives his own reward for doing good and for being loyal, and I refuse to kill you, even when the Lord placed you in my power, for you are the Lord's anointed one. Now, may the Lord value my life as I valued your life. May he rescue me from all my troubles. Let me tell you, David was faithful to God. He was faithful to God's anointed King Saul. Amen. The Bible says in 1 Samuel 22:14, Abimelech answered the king and he said, who among all your servants is as faithful as David? Who is the king's son-in-law? Who goes at your bidding, is honorable in your house? Who is as faithful as David? Why are you trying to kill David? There's nobody as faithful to you as David is. But Saul got jealous of David. Let me tell you, a faithful person is faithful to God, and they're also faithful to the authority and the leaders that God has put in their life. Paul spoke about Timothy's faithfulness to him. Paul said in 1 Corinthians 4, verse 17, for this reason, I've sent Timothy to you, who is my beloved and my faithful son in the Lord. I'm sending you Timothy. He is my beloved and faithful son in the Lord. He will remind you of my ways in Christ as I teach everywhere in every church. In the contemporary version, it says it like this. Paul said, I love him like a son, and he is a faithful servant of the Lord. I love him like a son. He's a faithful servant of the Lord. Timothy will tell you what to do to follow Christ and how it agrees with what I've always taught about Christ in every church. Now, it's interesting to me that he said Paul said that he's a faithful son, and then another translation says he's a faithful servant of the Lord. In Philippians 2:22, it says, you already know about his excellent reputation, that he served alongside me as a loyal son in the work of the ministry. Timothy was a faithful son to Paul, his spiritual father. And he was a faithful servant of the Lord. You know, Pastor Theo, when I worked for Pastor Theo in South Africa, he used to call me Timothy. It was my nickname he had for me. There's my Timothy. And he would tell people. He would say, if you want to know what it means to be faithful, just watch Steve Barry. Just watch this. Do what Steve Barry does, and you'll be faithful. I'm just telling you what he, and he used to, and not everybody liked this. Not everybody liked it. Not everybody liked it. But praise the Lord. Paul said about the Christians in Macedonia. Paul wrote and he said in 2 Corinthians 8, in verse 5, he said they exceeded our expectations because they first dedicated themselves fully to the Lord and then to us. They dedicated themselves to the Lord first and then to us according to God's pleasure. Now, God wants us to be faithful and dedicated to him, and he wants us to be faithful and dedicated to the leaders that God has put in our life. God blessed and favored and used David because he was so faithful, family. And some people may not think of David as faithful because he committed adultery. And then he had the husband arranged for him to be killed. How could he be faithful? But listen what God said about David. In Acts chapter 13, it says, God removed Saul and replaced him with David, a man about whom God said, I have found David, the son of Jesse, a man after my own heart. He will do everything that I want him to do. He said, I have found a man who's faithful, David, a man after my heart. He will do everything that I want him to do. Let me tell you, listen to me. Just because you messed up does not disqualify you from being faithful. Thank God for his mercy. Because David repented and he went on to fulfill God's will for his life, became the greatest king that ever lived in Israel, and he was faithful to the Lord. I've spoken about faithful people that you may know, like Moses and like David and Joseph and Paul. But let me tell you, the Bible mentions a lot of faithful people that you may have never heard of. The Bible says in Ephesians 6:21, Paul said, Tychius, who is a much loved brother and a faithful helper in the Lord's work, will tell you all about how I'm getting along. He spoke about this man named Tychius. And then Colossians 1:7, he said, you learned the good news from Epaphras, our beloved co-worker. He is Christ's faithful servant, and he's helping us on your behalf. And then he said in Colossians 4 verse 9, I'm sending Onesimus. He is a faithful and much loved brother. Let me tell you, family, these men may be unfamiliar to you. You may not have ever heard of them. But let me tell you, faithfulness, even in small matters, is known by God. And it is rewarded by God. They are faithful people that you never heard of, that God is going to reward them one day because they were faithful unto him. If there's one quality that seems to be lacking in our world today, it's faithfulness. The words respect and honor and duty and integrity, we don't hear too much of that anymore. Sadly, so many times people are out for themselves. They don't stick up for their family and friends. They'll stab someone in the back to get ahead. They think nothing of criticizing people or bad-mouthing their boss or bad-mouthing their country or bad-mouthing their church. They don't keep their commitments. They'll pack up and leave a company after 10 years because they got another offer somewhere else. Very often it boils down to a lack of loyalty, family. Proverbs 21 says, "He who pursues righteousness and loyalty finds life, righteousness, and honor." He who pursues righteousness and loyalty finds life and righteousness and honor. The Bible says we should be pursuing loyalty. Notice how loyalty and righteousness go together. In other words, if we are not being loyal to God and to our friends and to our family and to our country and to our company and to our church, then we're not going to experience God's best in our life. Because God rewards loyalty and faithfulness. And when you're loyal, you stick with someone through thick and thin. When you're loyal, you keep your word even when it hurts. People can count on you. The psalmist said this about a righteous person in Psalm 15, verse 4. It says he swears. A righteous person is someone who swears to his own hurt and does not change. The New Living Bible says they keep their promise even when it hurts. And the Passion Bible says they make firm commitments and they follow through, even at great cost. In other words, if I tell you that I'm going to do something, even if it turns out that it's going to cost me, I'm going to do what I said. A faithful person does what he promises. They swear to their own hurt. In other words, if they say they're going to do something, they'll do it, even if it's inconvenient, even if it costs them. Faithful and loyal people, they are respectful of their country, respectful of their leaders. They don't go around bad-mouthing people in authority. Let me tell you, I didn't badmouth President Obama, and I won't badmouth President Trump. You know what I do? I pray for them, because that's what the Scripture says to do. We shouldn't be going around once that person is elected president, the Bible says pray for him as a Christian. That's what you should do. Loyal people honor their parents. They defend their family and friends. When you're loyal, you stick up for people. If I hear someone talking about you and I know you're part of a sin church, and I hear someone talking about you, I'm going to defend you. I'm going to believe the best of you. I'm going to do everything I can to stand up for you, because that's what a loyal person does. If someone says to me, "Pastor Steve, one of your members tried to run me off the road," I'm going to say, "I'm sure they didn't mean to. They must have been distracted. Maybe they were just looking for their cell phone." "No, they were mad. They were honking their horn. They had their hands up in the air. Oh, I'm sure they were just worshiping the Lord." You see, when you're loyal, you defend people, even to a fault. Someone said, "Pastor Steve, I don't think that's right." Let me tell you, I'd rather be too merciful than too judgmental. Even if you were wrong, even if you blew it, even if you lost your temper, maybe you're having a bad day. Why don't you just give them the benefit of the doubt? I mean, after all, if you've never blown it, then go ahead and cast the first stone. But when you're loyal, you stick up for people. You believe the best of people. Proverbs 11:13 says, "A talebearer reveals secrets." A talebearer reveals secrets, but he who is of a faithful spirit conceals the matter. The Living Bible says, "A gossip goes around spreading rumors, but a trustworthy, a faithful person tries to quiet them down." Let me tell you, anybody can jump on the old negative, critical, fault-finding bandwagon. It's easy. It's easy to do that. I don't know about you, but I don't want to be just a fair-weathered friend. "Well, I'll be with you in the good times. God bless you. You're on your own. Good luck in the tough times. You know, you're on your own then." No, I'm going to stick with you through thick and thin. When you're faithful, you'll be with someone on the mountaintop celebrating their victories, and you'll still be with them in the valleys defending their honor, fighting for them. That's what it means to be loyal. That's what it means to be faithful. Oh, something. Kevin McHale, who's a basketball, is he still a basketball coach? I don't think for the Boston Celtics, but he used to be. Used to be the coach for the Boston Celtics, and he's in the Basketball Hall of Fame, I believe it is. And he was also the head coach for the Houston Rockets, okay? Someone told me this story, so bear with me, because I don't follow basketball. When Kevin McHale was playing for the Boston Celtics, every time after someone made a game-winning shot, the coach, Casey Jones, he'd never come over and congratulate that person for doing that. But anytime someone missed a game-winning shot, and did something that caused the team to lose, he'd be the first person to go and encourage them. And one day, Kevin McHale asked the coach about it. He said, "Hey, coach, how come you never come over and congratulate us when we do something good, but you're always the first one to come over when we mess up?" And the coach said, "Kevin, this is why. When you win, everybody's cheering you on. You've got 15,000 people screaming your name, shouting your praises." He said, "But when you lose, when you're down, when you've blown it, when you've made a mistake, that's when you need a true friend to encourage you." And let me tell you, that's the way it is in life, family. It's easy to cheer people on when they're on the mountaintop, when everything's going their way, everything's going great. But a true loyal friend will be cheering you on when nobody else is around. Proverbs 17, verse 17 says, "A friend loves at all times, and a brother is born for adversity." A friend loves at all times. The Living Bible says, "A true friend is always loyal, and a brother is born to help in time of need." And the Passion Bible says, "A dear friend will love you no matter what." Amen. That's the kind of people we need to strive to be, family, true, loyal friends. We need to let our friends and our family know that we're with them for the long haul, that we're going to be by their side, committed to them through thick and thin. Amen. A true friend defends. A true friend restores. A true friend is committed. When someone starts accusing and talking about someone we love, we should say, hey, hold, wait a minute. That's my friend. That's my neighbor. That's my coworker. That's my pastor. They might have made a mistake, but you better give them a little mercy, because when you mess with them, you're messing with me. They may not be perfect, but neither are you. So you need to back off. Give them some slack. You defend your brother. You defend your sister. That's what it means to be loyal and faithful. You stick up for people. If you see a friend, a brother, a sister who's down, instead of talking about them, being critical, being judgmental, well, they're just getting what they deserve. No, we're supposed to lift the fallen. We're supposed to restore the broken. The Bible says in Psalm 145, the Lord lifts the fallen. And Ecclesiastes chapter 4 says, two are better than one. Because if one fall, the other one will lift up his companion. Instead of saying, "Oh, too bad for you," we're supposed to go to them and help lift them back up and pour the healing oil into their wounds and encourage them. Let me ask you today, are you being faithful and loyal to God? Are you being faithful and loyal to your friends? Are you being faithful and loyal to your family? Are you being faithful and loyal to your church? Are you being faithful and loyal to your pastor? Do you stick with them through thick and thin? Because it's so easy when people are down, when they've made mistakes, to be critical, condemn them. But really, that's when our friends need us the most. Amen. A true friend's going to be by your side when you're hurting, when you've fallen, when you've made mistakes. I want you to know that the people in this church are on your team, that we are to defend one another. We are to stick up for one another. We are to protect one another. Amen. I thank God for the faithful people in this church. This church was built by faithful people, people we can count on, people who've stuck with us through thick and thin. I'm amazed how few people are faithful. I can't tell you the thousands of people that have come over the past 35 years, come and gone, thousands of people. Say, "Well, Pastor Steve, how come?" Same thing happened to Jesus. Are you kidding me? Jesus ministered to thousands. And when he left, there were 120 people waiting in that upper room. Where all the other people have gone? Yeah. I've seen people come to this church. They get saved. Their life gets turned around. They start learning and growing in the Word of God. Their lives are transformed. They tell me how grateful they are, how much they love me, how much they love Ascend Church. Next thing, they're gone, not even returning your phone calls. Let me tell you, you'd think that when you go out of your way to help people, that they would be faithful and they'd help you. You'd think that, but you'd be wrong. A lady came to me one time, and she asked if I could help her, if our church could help her. She had a gum disease, and all her teeth were messed up. And she was so self-conscious of it. Even when she was talking to me, she'd cover her mouth. And she'd been to see a dentist, and the dentist said he would put caps on three of her teeth. And it was going to cost $1,500, $500 per tooth, just three. And I knew she needed a lot more than that. So I went and spoke to a dentist on her behalf, one of the best dentists in Palm Beach. And I got him to agree to redo her entire smile for free. It would have cost over $10,000, but he said, "All I'll charge is the $500 for the materials. I won't charge anything for my time or my work." And I said, "Okay, I'll give you the $500. She went in there and she got a whole new smile. Is she still in our church? You would think that she'd be loyal to us, right? You'd think she'd be living here with a big smile. You'd be wrong. Another couple down the street lived in our neighborhood. They were having really serious marriage problems. In fact, the wife had moved out of the house. And the husband came over in tears. Came over, he knew we're pastors, and he came over and he asked if we could help. So my wife reached out and called his wife. She didn't reply. She kept on reaching out. Jill kept on calling her. Eventually, the wife agreed to meet with Jill. And Jill met with her and spent a number of hours and convinced her. She was able to minister to her. She was able to speak to her. And she convinced her to move back home. Today, now that was a number of years ago. Today, they're doing great. They were so grateful that they joined our church. Are they still here today? No. Why did they leave? I got no idea. They never, ever told me. I can stand here and go on and on and on and on about for the last 35 years, that kind of thing that has happened. Faithful people are hard to find. I thank God for faithful people. There are a lot of faithful people in this church. People like Carol Butoff, been with us from day one. From the first service, Carol been with us. Tom and Anna, the second Sunday, Tom and Anna, still sitting here. Pam and Jerry. There are many people sitting here who are faithful, family. Amen. True friends, committed people, the kind of people that I want to be. Not people who stay with you just if you do everything right and you never ever let them down. You never offend them. Then they'll stick with you. But the moment you don't perform perfectly, the moment you make a mistake, the moment you don't come to their birthday party, I'm out of here, Pastor Steve. You didn't come to my birthday party. Let me challenge you. Be faithful. Because if you will be faithful, God promised to pour down blessings and favor. Blessings will abound in your life. God will protect you. God will preserve you. You'll find that life of victory God has in store for you. You know, I was reading the book of Judges. And the book of Judges begins right after the death of Joshua. And the Bible says that during the days of Joshua, that they served the Lord. The children of Israel served the Lord as long as Joshua was alive. But when he died, then they went away from God. They were not faithful to God. They forsook the Lord. And they began to worship the god of Baal. So God, the Bible says, God delivered them into the hands of their enemies. The Bible says the Lord did not fight for them as he did before. Then God would raise up a judge, a leader, and that leader would bring the people back to God. They'd call out to God, and God would deliver them. The book of Judges, this is what it's about. The people, they cry to God. God delivers them. They serve the Lord. Then the leader dies. Then they go away from God. Their enemies defeat them. Then God raises up another leader. They cry out to God. God delivers them. Then the leader dies. They go away from God. They go back into captivity. That goes on for 450 years. That's the whole book of Judges I just gave you in 2 seconds. That's what it is. They cry out to God. He delivered them. 400 years that went on. Let me tell you, family, there are consequences for being unfaithful. And there are rewards and blessings for being faithful. The scripture says, I'm closing with this. I'm almost done. Put your seat backs up, safety belts on. We're coming in for a landing. Proverbs 13, verse 15 says this. It says, the way of the unfaithful is hard. If you think it's hard to be faithful, it's much harder to be unfaithful. Ezekiel 14, verse 13 says, when a land sins against me by persistent unfaithfulness, I will stretch out my hand against it. I will cut off its supply of bread. I will send famine on it, and I will cut off man and beast from it. In Ezekiel 39, 23, it says, the Gentiles shall know that the house of Israel went into captivity for their iniquity because they were unfaithful to me. They went in captivity because they were unfaithful to me. Therefore, I hid my face from them. I gave them into the hand of their enemies, and they all fell by the sword. Why? Unfaithfulness has consequences. 1 Chronicles 9, verse 1. Judah was carried away captive to Babylon because of their unfaithfulness. In 1 Chronicles 10, verse 13, Saul died for his unfaithfulness, which he committed against the Lord, because he did not keep the word of the Lord, and because he consulted a medium for guidance, because he was unfaithful. Proverbs 11, verse 3, the integrity of the upright will guide them, but the perversity of the unfaithful will destroy them. If you want to stand out in the eyes of God, if you want to abound in the blessings of God, if you want God to protect you and preserve you, if you want God to promote you and to use you, then determine you are going to remain faithful no matter what. And let me close with this. On your notes, it says there, a faithful Christian is someone who, I want you to write these down. I want you to take your pen and write down on that handout, faithful person. A faithful Christian is somebody, number one, who prays every day. Prays every day. Reads the Bible every day. Obeys God faithfully. Avoids temptation. Attends church every Sunday on time. On time. Right here. On time. A faithful person is on time. Don't shout me down because I'm preaching good today. A faithful person is here every Sunday. Let me tell you, in the book of Acts, the early church, they didn't gather together every Sunday. They gathered together every day. Every day. Let me tell you the truth. You can't afford to miss church on Sunday. You can't afford to miss church. You can't afford to miss church. You need to be a faithful person who is in church every Sunday. Now, of course, if you're on vacation, I understand. And sometimes something comes up, you have to work, I understand. I'm talking about a pattern. I'm talking about a habit. We have some people that miss church more than they actually attend. Are you with me? A faithful person is in church every Sunday. And everybody, all the faithful people said, a faithful person attends Connect Group whenever they meet. A faithful person, number seven, they serve faithfully in God's house. If you're faithful to the Lord, you're going to be serving on a team. You're going to be a servant volunteer. You're going to say, Pastor, I want to be faithful. What can I do in the house of God? We should never have to be struggling to find someone to help in the media. We got Miguel back there doing two things. He's doing the lights and he's doing the screen at the same time. Two things. We should never struggle. We should have people clamoring to want to help and serve. Thanks for your great enthusiasm. Number eight, a faithful person tithes faithfully on every dollar. God has commanded us to tithe 10%, the first 10% of every dollar. If you can't tithe on $1, trust me, you will not be able to tithe on $10,000. A faithful person brings others to church and disciples them. Faithful people bring people with them to church. A faithful person is not a talebearer. They're not a gossip. They don't talk critically about other people. A faithful person is someone who never quits. A faithful person keeps following Jesus no matter what. A faithful person is someone who keeps their promises. A faithful person keeps on believing the word of God no matter what. They refuse to quit. Having done all to stand, they stand therefore. And number 15, a faithful person is someone who's loyal. Now, I'm sure there's things that I left out of that list, but that's just give you an idea. If you're faithful, you're going to be doing all those things. Amen? And let me tell you, if you'll do this, if you'll be faithful to God, I declare in the name of Jesus that you're going to abound in the blessings of God. I declare you're going to be promoted. I declare God's going to use you in amazing ways. I declare God's going to protect you, fight for you, defend you. You're going to see God's favor in your life. You're going to be rewarded in this life and throughout eternity. In the name of Jesus, I encourage you to be faithful to God. Stand out in His eyes. If you agree with me, if you receive it today, give God some praise. Will you do that? Do you receive this today? I want to ask you to just bow your head for a moment. I want to pray for you. Just bow your head for a moment. Lord, I thank you for every person who's here today. Just remain where you are. I thank you, Lord, for every person that is here today. I thank you, Lord, that not one person is here by an accident, but they're here by your divine hand, Lord. And I just pray, Father. I pray today for each and every one of us that we will remain faithful to you, that we will be found faithful to you, Lord, in Jesus' name. Listen, while you have your head bowed and while you have your eyes closed, I want to pray right now especially. I want to pray especially for anyone who's here this morning. If you're not sure where you stand with God today, if you're not sure if all is right, if all is well between you and the Lord, I want to pray for you. I want to ask you this question. If you were to die today, can you say that you know for sure that you would go to heaven? You're absolutely sure about it, no doubt. Or would you have to be honest? Say, Pastor Steve, if I died today, I hope I would go to heaven. I do believe in God. I'm a member of such a church. Listen, I'm not asking you if you belong to a church. And I'm not even asking you if you believe in God. What I'm asking you is, are you absolutely sure if you died today, you know beyond the shadow of a doubt you'd go to heaven? Because let me tell you, the good news is you can know that for sure. You can be certain of that. You can live your life knowing that when you die, heaven is where you will spend all of eternity. I want to pray for you today. I'm not going to embarrass you. I'm not going to ask you to stand up. But right where you are, while we have our eyes closed, if you say, Pastor Steve, pray for me, include me in that prayer that you're about to pray, because I want to make sure that all is right, all is well with me and God, and I want to make sure when I die, I want to go to heaven. I don't want to go to hell. Pray for me. If that's you, I want you quickly, just lift your hand up high. I'm looking for hands. Just slip it up right now. Say, yes, pray for me. If your hand is raised, you're included in this prayer this morning. Do you see anybody hands raised? Because I can't see. Do you see? You see? There are some people. All right. I want us to say this prayer. If you raised your hand, please will you say this prayer with me? In fact, church, let's all say it together. Can we do that? Everybody, say this. Say, dear God. Everybody, say, dear God, I thank you that you love me so much. You sent your Son, the Lord Jesus, to come to this earth for me, to die on a cross for me, to take my sin and my punishment and my judgment. Lord, you said that if I believe that God raised Jesus from the dead, and if I confess that Jesus is my Lord, you said I would be saved. I would be your child. And so I do this today. Say it. Say, I believe in all my heart that Jesus, you're alive. And I ask you to come into my life. Forgive me of my sin. Change me, Lord. Save me. Because today I confess, Jesus, you are now Lord of my life. I surrender my life to you. From today, I will follow you. I will serve you. And I thank you, Lord, that I am now saved. That I am now born again. That I'm a child of God. Jesus, you live within me. You never forsake me. Heaven is now my home. My name is written down in that book of life. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. And everybody said amen and amen, Ben. Praise God. If you raised your hand, I want to ask you in a few minutes when we finish, close the service, would you just remain seated? We have some leaders in our church. They're going to come over to you. We have a gift we want to give you. Before you go, we won't keep you long. But praise God, I want to thank all the faithful givers and tithers in this church, because if it wasn't for your faithful giving, we wouldn't be here. Amen. Let me tell you, we trust in the Lord. We look to God as our source. But God, the first way that God supplies for His church is through the believers, is through the members of the church. And so thank you for your faithful giving. Amen. We had a great testimony this week of someone, Robin, right, Jill?
Yeah.
Robin,
You want me to do it?
Yeah, come on then.
Okay, I hope this microphone's not going to run out. One of the ladies in our church, and we wanted to share it with you, because sometimes we hear stories of how God blesses somebody, and there's principles behind it many times that we can share with you. So one of the ladies in our church, her job is, I don't think it's a court reporter. Yeah, it is a court reporter, but what they do is she works for a company, and then when a court case is on, you know, record, they transcribe everything, and then she will be given, you know, 100 pages, and she'll 100 pages a day, she'll have to transcribe those. And so that's her job. But what happened last week is, what happens is, if somebody comes and wants to order those sheets that she's typed up, she gets paid on each time somebody orders. So she said last week, out of the blue, unexpectedly, she got a check for $10,000, because she opened a paycheck. It was $10,000. It was more than what she expected, because people had been ordering all these different copies of the court case she had done. So she was so blessed by that. And she came in on Sunday morning, and she wrote out a $1,000 check for her tithe, 10%, right? She wrote out the tithe, and then she felt stirred of the Lord. She felt like she wanted to give over and above. And so she wrote a second, she gave a second $1,000 as an offering to the Lord. And on behalf of her daughter was with her, first time in a long time. And she said, I'm going to give this $1,000 on her behalf. And then she said that to us, that what she was believing God for was, there was this big tobacco court case that's coming up, and it's going to mean a lot of work for a long time. And so she said everybody who's in her position wants that job, because it's guaranteed months. Yeah, it's just so much income coming in. And she said on Sunday morning she tithed $1,000 as an offering, a generous offering, And she said on Sunday evening, she got a text saying she got the job to do that thing. We were so blessed by that. You know, we were so blessed because, you know, there are principles that she followed. You know, it's not like saying, oh, well, you know, the reason we can rejoice when someone else is blessed is because it's not just favoritism. It's following certain principles. So the Bible says, I'm going to read you two verses. The first one is in Malachi 3, where it says, bring the entire 10% into the storehouse so that there will be food in my house. Like Pastor Steve said, that's what provides for the house of God, right? And it says, then I will open the windows of heaven and flood you with blessing after blessing. So that's a principle that she was putting in practice right there. But then it goes on and it says in 2 Corinthians 9 verse 6, remember this, a farmer who plants only a few seeds will get a small crop, but the one who plants generously will get a generous crop. So that tells us that there is something about seed sowing in giving, because that was about giving. That's seed sowing. So you can, you know, in your garden, if you go out and you plant a couple of seeds, you're going to only get a small harvest. You'll get a harvest, but it'll be a small one. But if you plant a lot, you can plant hundreds and thousands of acres of seed and come up with a huge harvest, right? And what she did was she was giving with a harvest in mind, right? We give, obviously you give because you love the Lord, but God says there's a harvest attached to it. And I just felt stirred of the Lord to say to you today, there's people that are believing for contracts. They're believing for promotion. They're believing for new doors opening to them. Different things in your career, in your finances. And sometimes you got to sow towards that. Anytime you sow with that in mind, amen, with that harvest in mind. And I want to encourage you today, if there's something in particular, let the Lord direct you. I'm not twisting your arm in any way. I'm just saying that there are times that God, I know you've done it, Anna, you guys have done it. How many times? Many people have, where you have given specifically believing God for an outcome in a certain area, and you've seen that blessing come in. So I just want to encourage you to do that today. Amen. And those who are watching online, you can just go ahead and give. It's just a click of a button. And we're going to pray right now. Father God, I thank you for each and every person sitting here. We thank you for this church. We thank you for your provision. We thank you for what you've done. It wasn't but a year ago that we were in the hotel, and or 2 years ago, we couldn't even imagine this building. And look what you've done. A year ago, we couldn't even imagine having enough to finish it. And look what you've done. And Father, many of us sitting here, there's so many things in our lives at a time we couldn't imagine how you would bless us, but you have. And we thank you for your continued blessing on our life. I pray for each person, Father, as they give and as they sow, as they tithe today, that your blessing rests on them. Thank you for a great harvest of income into their life. In the name of Jesus, amen. Amen. As the ushers get ready to do that, were you going to say anything there? Okay, I just want to show you something about our app. Angela Penn, who developed our phone app. Who's downloaded our phone app? Okay, if you haven't done it, do yourself a favor and download it. It's so many resources on it, and there are going to be more. But there's a new thing she showed us that they just added to it that I wanted to show you how to find it. So that's the app that you'll find. Go on, Dan, show us the... Okay, so that would be our home screen. And if you went and you looked at sermons, okay, so if we clicked on sermons, go the next one, and then it gives you audio or video. And I picked video, and then it will come up with all the different messages. So you can watch these. You can just click and share them with somebody. But then I clicked on that one, don't take the bait. Now, this is last Sunday. So what was just, you can watch that whole thing, but what's just been added is sermon notes. So if you click on that, what comes up is all the sermon notes, and they are, you can fill them. So you can go, you can listen to the message, and you can type in this, whatever it is, and follow along. So I just thought Angela just continues to blow our mind. She keeps adding the most amazing things onto the app.
Yes.
So go ahead and make use of that this week, right?
Great. Thank you, Angela. I find this mobile app to be such a blessing. I go and watch the sermon, and it gets loaded up on Tuesday. But I go and I watch the sermon on Tuesday. I watch it again. I want to critique it, but I get blessed by it. That's good stuff, man. Because it's the Word. It's not me. I'm just telling you the Word of God. That's it. So praise the Lord. Stand up with us. Are you glad you came to church today?
Yes.
Can I ask you next week to make it your plan, make it your mission to bring somebody with you next Sunday? Can I ask you to do that? Thank you. How many of you glad that our sin is gone, dead and gone?
Come on,
let's
sing
tell
along
it.
With us.
Hallelujah.
Gone, gone. Now my sin is dead and gone, and I sing hallelujah.
God bless you. We love you. Have a great week. We'll see you next Sunday. My wife and I will be in the lobby. If you'd like to talk to us, we'd love to talk to you. God bless everyone. Have a great week. We'll see you next time. Thanks, Miguel. Gone, gone now.